morning. Hopefully, you don't. Hopefully, that it's not as heavy as this morning, but at the same time, it is what it is. Amen. It is what it is. We went to eat right after the service this morning, and I was going to come back and kind of retouch up on some things from this morning and finish James chapter 4. But I do want to say a couple things before we get to Genesis chapter 33. If God's brought you to a conflict, if God's brought you to a place where you feel like you're in a war or you're in a conflict or you're in a battle in a relationship, amen, or anything else for that matter, but if you're there, that means God brought a Christian to the battle. Do you understand what I'm saying? And if God brought a Christian to the battle, it's because he wants a representative there. He wants someone who's going to come to that battle, to that conflict, and they're going to proceed to ask God how to proceed, how to go about it. God, do you want me to go into the battle? Do you want me to stay from the battle? Do you want me to, what God, really, what do you want me to do? And how do you want me to fight this? You understand what I'm saying? So you might want to make a note right there from this morning's service. If you're in a conflict as a Christian, you're there. It's no mistake. But you're supposed to handle yourself like a Christian. Amen? Is that all right? And then what will tie over tonight is your last verse from this morning. I think it was the last verse. Is humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. The great thing about that is, in the sight of the Lord, there's nowhere God can't see. Amen? So when he says humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, that means if God sends you to a place or you're in a place that you feel like no one else can see, God sees. Yeah, I don't want to, I almost don't, can't move from right there, but I want you to hear this. Sometimes we think God puts us in situations that all of a sudden now he can't see us. God, you must have messed up. I'm way over here. I'm way down here. I'm way in this situation. Now you know what I'm saying? You need to remind yourself God sees you everywhere you are. Even when it's insignificant, even when it's hard, even when you're lonely, even when you're low, God's there. Amen? And what does it say? He will exalt you in what? And he shall lift you up. Sorry about that. I get those two verses mixed up. And he shall lift you up. Who will? If you humble yourself under his sight, then who's going to do the lifting? Do y'all think that'll be easier? Do you think that'll be lighter? Do you think that'll be bet? Like, will you get some great joy out of that? Well, because listen, I know I'm kind of going slow here, but I really ain't no hurry. What's good about that is if God lifts you up, nobody, you don't have to explain it. You don't have to get it. You don't have to go in detail, because people will see that it's God. It could have been nobody else but God. That, did you see where they were at? They put themselves in a position. Usually if you put yourself in a position with God to humble yourself under his sight, it looks weird to the world. You might want to write that down. It looks strange to the world. Matter of fact, they'd probably say, do everything but that. Right? Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't do that. Don't do it at this time. All that is against worldly wisdom. God says, put yourself under my humbleness. Put it under my sight, and I'm going to start lifting you up. And when you start coming up, because it doesn't add up to worldly wisdom, everybody will say, that was of God. Does that make sense to y'all? Hopefully I'm not just preaching this. We got down to the end of Genesis chapter 33. But I was talking to some people at lunch, and I got so excited about it, I was like, man, I'm going to preach here at the El Matates. And then I was like, no, I'm gonna preach this when I get to church tonight, because it's so good, and it ties in with what we're talking about this morning. It's about a relationship gone bad, right, between brothers. Right? Can your relationship go bad with your brothers and sisters? in your family. I want to title this, Don't Get Caught Up on the Stuff. How many, I can get caught up in stuff, amen. You ever think something belongs to you? Something owed to you? Boy, oh, never mind. Let's just get in the mess, see if we can see it, all right? And I'm going to give y'all some background and story to this that'll make sense. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men, and he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. He had 12 kids. Amen? 12 kids. Two wives and two concubines. Don't ask me about concubines now. I don't want to explain it. And don't ask me about two wives either. Somebody asked me about that today. They said, what about two wives? What about concubines? And I said, are any of y'all married? And they said, yeah. I said, any of y'all want two wives? Hey, oh, some of y'all shook your head too quick and too powerfully. Slow that down. Because your wife's looking over, what do you mean? You don't want two of me? Hey, golly, thanks, Scott, for setting it off. We're having more fun tonight than we did this morning. Man, if you give Scott any leeway on singing, he will take you to a whole nother place. I kind of liked it, but it was different. Amen? No, I loved it. I was just missing. But anyway, they were these two. That 20 years, he had been in Laban. He had been outcast, exiled for 20 years, and he was coming back, and the person when he left home that wanted him dead more than any other person is the welcoming committee back home. Amen? Let me run this back 20. Can we go back 20 years? 20 years ago, Jacob robbed his brother Esau, one of his earthly blessing from his father, right, his birthright. He waited till he was dog-tired, about to die, heat exhaustion, heat stroke, made him some beans, and just sat right outside the woods waiting on him, making them extra good, red beans and rice. And all of a sudden, here come Esau, and Esau's starving and about to die, and he says, hey, man, I'll die if I don't have some of them red beans and rice. He said, well, would you trade it for your birthright? And Esau can't see far down the road. He's like, man, what's my birthright if I can't live? Yes. So then later on, this same Jacob takes and with his mom's help puts goat skin all over him. How hairy do you got to be? Amen? Y'all ever read that? How hairy do you got to be for somebody to put a whole goat skin on the back of your neck and on the hairs of your hand for somebody to touch you and go, yep, that's Esau. Have you ever thought about that? Man, that's amazing. That guy, I can't, now I want to get to heaven. Hopefully a new glorified body still has some residue of who we are here. I want to see John the Baptist, and I want to see Esau and Elijah. Amen? But he robbed him again because guess what? He sounded like Jacob, but he felt like Esau. And man, his daddy Isaac blessed him, gave him the heavenly blessing. Not only did he get the earthly blessing, he got the heavenly blessing. And he was running for his life. As soon as Esau said, he said, Daddy, you got a blessing for me too? He goes, I got a blessing for you, but it ain't going to be as good as that one. He said, good, that's okay, Daddy. He said, but then he walked out of that room. He said, as soon as Daddy's dead, guess who else is going to be dead? Jacob. And his mom said, hey, son, listen. We come up with that good plan, and we got that birthright, we got that blessing, but guess what? You're going to have to go down to where my folks live, and you're going to have to stay down there for a while because your brother's going to kill you. And he's a man of the woods. He's setting up a deer stand for you, brother. Amen? So you're going to, and he was a man who liked to cook and clean and hang out with his mom around the kitchen. Amen? He didn't stand a chance against Esau, so guess what? He got up, and he sent him down to her brother Laban, who was they call Jacob. He's a game player, amen. He's a supplanter. That's what his name means, supplanter. That means he's a trickster. But guess what? God is so cool that he sent him down to a man named Laban who was the Milton Bradley of his day. If y'all don't know who Milton Bradley is, I'm sorry. He's the one who invented all the board games. Amen? So when you're a game player and God wants to get you right, he'll send you down to the master of games. Amen? And Laban's just down there waiting on him, right? So he gets down there and he ends up marrying, right, and working for about 7 years for his wife, finds out he gets the wrong wife, then he has to work 7 more years, 14 years, right? So then he gets down there and he's in a struggle. So for 20 years, he's been working for Laban, and I'll get into that in a minute. But then God comes to him and says, hey, Jacob, I'm with you. I'm going to bless you. Go back home. Whew. All right. The coast is clear, amen? I'm going to go back home. So Jacob, one night, when Laban and him went out to count and take care of their sheep, Jacob went in there and said, load up, everybody, we're leaving. He's taking all of his sheep, all of his oxen, all of his camels, and he's loading up. And by this time, God has prospered him immensely. Have you ever thought that God has set you up for a blessing, and then right behind that, he scares you to death? I mean, it's like you got out of the frying pan, and all of a sudden now you're back into, I mean, they threw you in the oven. I don't know, how's that saying go? Out of the frying pan into the fire. Thank God. Man, Ray's like, I'm going to write that one down. Kevin can't even remember that. But I'm talking about out of the frying pan, right into the fire. It's like all of a sudden, he's like, all right, you're free. Go home. He's like, yes, homebound. All the kids, all 12 of them, all the wives, all the concubines, everybody headed in the right direction. And let's step it out, because Laban, when he finds out, he's coming after us. Yeehaw! That's what you do when you're running some learn, I guess. And Laban catches up with him. I don't want to tell the story, but man, Laban catches up with him. But right before he catches up with him, God tells Laban in a dream, yeah, listen, don't you say a word to him, good or bad. Whew, man, God, never mind. That's good. But then all of a sudden, it's like, Jacob's like, man, God, yeah. And all of a sudden, somebody comes to him and says, hey, we're headed back home, right? And he goes, yeah, finally. And man, Laban can't do nothing to us. I'm ready. But Esau's waiting. He's got 400 men. You see what I'm saying? Wait a minute, God. Hey, God. What are you doing? I mean, I went through 20 years of this, and I finally broke loose, and it's like, you're going to send me back home? And Esau's waiting on me with 400 men. I mean, you got me out of this to put me in a situation that's even worse. You might want to write this down. God doesn't mind to give you the same test twice, and this time you're going to pass it. You've got to deal with some things whether you want to deal with them or not. I mean, you can put it off. You can put off dealing with people, but guess what? God, don't forget. He's like, I've been waiting. You had to get to, you're going to come back to this. I want to. This is such a blessing to see it. Y'all ready? I kind of give you enough backstory. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph in hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near his brother. Golly, bum. Does this look different than when Jacob was a trickster, a supplanter, a liar? Amen? Now he comes back. I want y'all to get this picture. He lines up all his stuff, camels, oxen, and sheep, hundreds of them. And he puts a man at the front of every one of them. Amen? And he says, when you see my brother Esau, you tell him this stuff right behind you is his stuff. Is that... Could you imagine rolling up on 200 or 300 or 400 sheep or oxen? I mean, just... They're just rolling up, and all of a sudden Esau's standing there with his 400 men, and he's looking, and he must know something's coming, but he's not sure. And all of a sudden he's like, what's going on? Why are you bringing all these sheep into my land? These are yours. And oxen right behind it. And camels right behind it. These are yours. Your brother Jacob is coming out of exile, and he wants you to know that he loves you, and this is your stuff. I don't care how hard you are. I don't care if you're the meanest person in the world. Man, after about 200 or 300 of nays and snorts, and you're like, golly, my brother's coming home. Amen? My brother's coming home. And listen, did you see? He lines them up, and he's behind all the stuff. Amen? It's pretty strategic. I was preaching to you this morning. This is afflicting yourself to let the other person know that it ain't about this anymore. It's about us. I want you to know I love you. And even if you reject me, you're going to have to reject all the love I'm putting between you and me. Amen? That's a lot of love. Amen? That's a lot of love. That's 20 years. Can I break that love down a little bit? That's 20 years. Remember when he left, he was fighting over God's blessing. That's not something that came in his own hand. 20 years ago, he was fighting over daddy's stuff. Huh? That didn't come in his own hand either. This is 20 years of blood, sweat, tears, and love. I don't know which one hurts worse. Y'all just help me out every once in a while. Just say, yeah, I know, brother. Sometimes it hurts worse to love people than it does to be mad at them. Amen? See, 14 years of those sheep and oxen and goats and everything else were 14 years that he suffered because he was in love with his wife. He took one look at Rachel and kissed her and said, "You're it for me." Huh? And he worked 7 years like it was nothing. I mean, it said in the book 7 years. Man, if you got a 7 year guy, you might want to keep him. Amen. And then they added another 7 years. See, when Laban caught up to him for 20 years, listen, I'm preaching to you, just don't know it. Listen, when they caught up to him, you know what? Do you know what Jacob told him? He said, "I've worked for you for 20 years, and you have moved the goalpost on me time after time after time. You've changed my wages time after time after time. You've changed how much I'm getting paid." And listen to this, I'll tell you something else I did. I didn't count one of those sheep that got sick towards your account. I took it towards my account. Woo! When they died, I didn't put it towards your account. When a wolf came and killed them, I didn't put it on your account. I put it on my account. Are y'all all right? So do you see what Jacob put out there in front of him? For the first time in his life, he was giving away stuff that he had fought for, that he had put his all of himself in. And he was saying, "Listen, I didn't understand what we were wrestling for back there, but I understand what's in front of me. The stuff is not as important as me loving you." Amen? Some of y'all need to understand this. The stuff is not more important than you loving the people in your life. The stuff's going to stay. The relationship's what's going to remain. Bowed himself. Do y'all see the humbleness? Every seven times he'd bow down. I guarantee you, Esau's going, "This is a different guy." Has there anybody that met you before you got saved thinking there's anything different about you since you got saved? See, since Jacob left, he's had a name change. He was Jacob when he left, supplanter. When he come back, he's Israel. He's got a limp when he meets him for a reason. Because the night before he met Esau, God wrestled with him. I don't know if anybody of y'all have wrestled God. You might think you're doing a good job. You ain't doing nothing. It's like your big brother holding you at arm's distance, just sitting there letting you wear yourself out. I mean, he wrestled and wrestled and wrestled, and he finally, the angel said, "I'm going to give you a little mercy, man," and touched him and hit the sinew of his hip. It was like, all right, but then Jacob does, I don't want to preach this whole thing, but Jacob, I just picture it this way, Jacob grabs hold of the angel by the leg and said, "I ain't letting you go until you bless me." Amen? "I ain't letting you go until you bless me." He said, I want the real deal. He said, all right, you tell me what your name is. Jacob said, what's your name? He said, it ain't important. What's your name? He said, my name's Jacob. He goes, no longer Jacob, it's Israel. Do you know why that's important? Because the last time somebody asked him, what is your name? You know what he told him? My name's Esau. God was restoring him out there. He said, you're going to wrestle with me until you tell me the truth. Amen? And as soon as you let it go, who are you? I'm Jacob. Amen? Ain't that cool? So he's limping to his brother. Every seven steps, he falls down and says, God, he's saying, Esau, look, I'm weak. I'm vulnerable. I'm afflicting myself. I'm humbling myself. I'm the weaker one. I've got the blessing. I've got the name. God's on my side. But praise God, you can see what I'm doing. Amen? Y'all good? Look at this. And he said, verse 8, this is Esau speaking. And he said, what meanest thou by all this drove which I've met? And they said, these are to find grace in thy sight of my Lord. And Esau said, look at this. I want y'all underline and highlight this. This is so good. I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. I have enough. Ain't that cool? These are two brothers that were wrestling and killing and fighting and fussing over stuff. And when he gets he hits the jackpot. Amen? When he hits the jackpot, he tells him, I have enough. Is that good? Watch this. It gets even better. Watch this. And Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore, listen, verse 10, this is so sweet. Look at this. I have seen thy face. Y'all get it? I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God, and thou was pleased with me. Remember, he named a place because he came face to face with an angel, and he named that place, and he said, this from now on will be called the place where I seen God face to face, and I lived. I know that's not important, but what he said is, you know what's comparable to seeing God face to face is when a brother or a brother in Christ or people who are supposed to love each other, love each other again the right way. Oh, my gosh. He said, you know what's comparable? I've seen angels. It felt like I've seen God face to face, and there is nothing better than seeing my brother face to face and him loving me and me loving him. Boy, you talk, ain't that a... That's cool, ain't it? I mean, this is a man who could have said, I've been in the presence of God. This ain't much. You know what that means to me? I've never seen God face to face. But you know what? I have seen God reconcile some relationships in my life. One with my brother, one with my dad, one with my mother before she passed. Praise God. You know what? I have seen the face of God because I have seen some healing where I thought, man, there is no healing to be had. You really want to know what the face of God looks like? It looks like when somebody loves you and respects you and you love them and you respect them. And you know what? Some of y'all need to say, praise God, and the stuff don't matter. Wouldn't it be sweet if you could just get back to where the stuff don't matter? I'm going to tell you, when this life is over, you ain't going to be sitting around going, man, how much stuff I had. It's going to be, how were the relationships, one with me and God, and when with other people? Y'all thought this got good right there, but I'm going to show you, this ain't nothing yet. This ain't even, watch this. It gets so good. Take, I pray thee, verse 11. My blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. What? Read it with me. Look right there again. Take, I pray thee, verse 11. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. Did you see what he just said? He said the same thing his brother said. I have enough. I have enough. Take all that I have, because I got enough. Y'all got to see how big this is. These two boys hated each other because of stuff. Both of them found out who they were in God and because of God, and now no stuff measures up to the relationship. Wow. Wow. Now I'm good. Man, man, there ain't nothing sweeter in this world to love somebody unconditionally and the want of nothing. There ain't nothing sweeter than you can't get nothing from somebody other than them just loving you and you loving them back. Man, there ain't, do you want this or do you want that? Do you care to have this? I ain't in it for that. I'm not in it for that. Man, you talking about one of the sweetest stories in the Bible, and it only took 20 years. It only took 20 years. It probably wouldn't have took so long, but some stuff has to be rooted out. And God don't mind to root it out. Amen? And God will send you into hard places and tough places, scary places. But you know what those places will do? They'll produce a fruit. One, can I tell you this? Let's all stand as they come get a song. It'll produce two kinds of fruit. First of all, Jacob was never more prosperous than he was when he was under Laban's hand. He ended up with more kids and more stuff. He went down there empty-handed. And you know what? God put him in a tough place. And some of y'all say amen to this. God will put you in some tough places. But if you'll look back on those tough places in your life, they were probably the most fruitful years of your life. If you didn't gain monetarily or physically, you gained experience that you probably couldn't explain to somebody. Amen? But then it bared another kind of fruit. Amen? It bared another kind of fruit. Peace, joy, and love. A peace that I don't need your stuff and I don't need my stuff. A joy that no matter where I'm at or what I'm doing, God's good. And a love for people that's unconditional. Man, that's the kind of fruit we're looking for. Amen? If whatever it takes, whatever God has to do to get me to a place where I can have joy, peace, and love. Amen? That's the fruit that remains. Jacob's looking around going, man, there was a time in my life. I was running for my life, and I went down there for 20 years. And it was a hard 20 years. I bet when he was standing back behind all of his stuff going, man, whew, God's really blessing me. That's a lot of stuff going yonder way. And right at the end, he had all 12 kids lined up. And the very end of that, he's got his brother back. Some of y'all need to really put your trust and faith in Jesus and let him put you in some places where he humbles you. Under his sight, and he'll lift you up. Humble yourself. You don't have to be right. You don't have to be the one who's in. Oh man, you got this right. You don't have to get it your way. Get to the place where you'll humble yourself under God and let God have His way. God will fight better for you than you can fight for yourself any day. And then one day He might do the impossible. He might bring you back face to face with the people that swore they hated you and they would help you. They won't do nothing. As a matter of fact, they probably want to see you dead. But instead, they're loving on you like you never thought they would. God's dead.